You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to coca.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you. So, this week's been interesting for me. It's been an interesting week. Last week, if you were here, I had the opportunity to invite you into where we are headed in 2026. And if you missed that, or if you're new and you want to know what we're all about, please go back and listen to that message. It's on our podcast. It was my attempt, really, as best as I could, to try and invite you into what we believe God is doing amongst us here. And that's the summary there. Church of Christ Albany exists to love God and love others by seeing more people more like Jesus. Now, I probably could have just said that last week and we could have gone to coffee early, right? That is the summary of it. It is our mission. It is what we want to orient all we do here in this place around. But more than that, last week, really, I'm hoping and praying and I'm seeing and hearing from you that this was true, that there was a challenge for us as individuals to open ourselves up more to the love of God in our own lives. That is why we do anything. It is His love that would motivate us. It would compel us because we want to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. That would compel us to love our neighbor. It is true that God's love is transformational. It causes us to go to places and do things that may not come naturally to us. It causes us to move in love towards those that maybe the rest of the world sees unlovable. And so I was so encouraged by your response last week and your willingness just to maybe dream about what God could do here if we embraced that mission, that vision, and opened ourselves up to the love of God in our lives. What was interesting for me this week was that the plan was to unpack this idea of more people. That's the one that kind of rocks my boat a little bit easier. I love talking to people. I'm happy to go to complete strangers and talk to them. Our trip along the Nullarbor, I think, may take longer because I'm going to talk to people at service stations. I'm going to talk to road train drivers, and I'm hoping that there's opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And so the plan was to maybe share on the parable of the sower, or the story of the lost son, because the truth is so many people that you know are without Christ in this world. They are without hope, lost and broken. And we have been given opportunity to help reconcile them to God. That's what He's called us and asked us to do. Jesus loves these people. He died for them and He rose that they might not die in their sins, but that they might know God. And we just can't keep that to ourselves. God's plan was never to keep the gospel message in Jerusalem with His disciples. And so if we are serious about our mission to see more people more like Jesus, then it calls us to be fishers of men and sowers of seeds and ambassadors for an indescribable God that we sung about today. But I said to you, I was looking forward to sharing that message. And the point being, I'm not sharing that message because I've been trying so hard not to race ahead and for us not to go from this posture of being open to God's love in our lives and then get straight to doing stuff. And straight to, well, let's get busy, because the truth is we need to actually allow God to work in us before He may allow us to do anything. And so I'm trying to kind of hold myself back. I'm trusting that God would work in us first. And that's what last week was all about, just embracing that possibility. And so today, instead of looking at the parable of the sower and looking at the story of the lost son, and we're certainly going to be talking about these people that don't know Jesus, what I'd like for us to do is explore the power which makes this mission, this inconceivably large mission, even possible. I would put to you that mission is one that cannot fail because it isn't ours. And it doesn't depend on our strength or wisdom. It is all of God. So I'd love for you to open your Bibles or your phones or your iPads or your memories to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And here what is happening is Jesus is risen. He's again with his disciples. And they ask this question. They say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power, that's what we're going to talk about today, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they ask, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And our perspective 2,000 years later can be, well, that's quite naive of them to ask. It's almost somewhat, do you even get this, disciples? Do you even have any idea what God is trying to do, what Jesus' plan and purpose was on earth? And I think they 100% absolutely get it. It's just that their view is small, right? They don't really have this kingdom worldview as yet. And they're starting to get an idea of it. It's just beyond their capacity to comprehend. And I would say the church in general, not just ours, isn't all that different from the disciples in this instance. As we would begin to open up ourselves to God's love in our lives, and as we embrace the mission to see more people more like Jesus, God is actually inviting us into something far larger than we really have the capacity to properly understand. He sees it. He knows what it is and what it could be, but we are small and finite and limited in our thinking. The mission is larger than just us. And remember, it's because it is God's mission, not ours. And so it will require a supernatural power to fulfill the mission. What is awesome about that is as we more and more open ourselves to God's love, more and more He enlarges our worldview. More and more He fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we more begin to see what is possible in His power, in His strength. And so if you are at all someone who wants to be ambitious, this is where you are ambitious. This is the place for you to be ambitious. I love this quote from John Stott. I think that's the next one up there. He says this about ambitions. Ambitions for self may be quite modest. Ambitions for God, however, if they are to be worthy, can never be modest. There is something inherently inappropriate about cherishing small ambitions for God. How can we ever be content that He should acquire just a little more honor in the world? No, once we are clear that God is King, then we long to see Him crowned with glory and honor and accorded His true place, which is the supreme place. We become ambitious for the spread of His kingdom and righteousness everywhere. Isn't that cool? That is the kind of what ifs that I'm trying to encourage you and invite you into. If you came in today and you weren't here last week, you might see on the black notice board out there a bunch of sticky notes. And they were responses to last week saying, hey, what if God would actually do this? Like, what if I would actually open myself up to God's love in this way? What could happen? Right? What would our community look like? What could we see here? And I know some of you couldn't resist and you put some great ideas down there, which is awesome. And we're going to take those. But really the idea was to go, hey, what actually could this place look like? Like, what kind of a community could it be? What would it be like? Would there be people coming in that are broken, that are lost, that are finding hope? What could it look like? And so I want to give you the opportunity to keep doing that. I've intentionally left them there because I think it'd be kind of cool that people that use our venue might read them and go, oh, these guys are all about me knowing Jesus. Oh, that's interesting. Actually, not this quiet little club that I thought churches are. So that is last week, and we saw the why of our mission is love. The what is that we would see more people like Jesus. And today we are talking about the power in which that could happen. Some of the how that could happen. Jesus says this to them. And do you notice that he connects the mission to the coming of the Holy Spirit, the power necessary to fulfill it. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses pretty much wherever you go. So in effect, the Holy Spirit intends to bring glory to Christ in us and in all the earth. He wants to see more people more like Jesus. And so as God's story unfolds through the book of Acts and the church is established, there is a pattern that we can see. Some people have labeled the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. What happens is first the Holy Spirit is poured out into the lives of believers and then they respond in action. If you quickly flick to Acts 2, you'll see Pentecost happens. In Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. The very next thing is Peter. Now, if you're picking, I know that Peter was bold and he was, you know, somewhat aggressive, but if you're picking a wordsmith out of the disciples, you're likely not picking Peter. And yet Peter preaches to the crowd, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you can look all through the book of Acts and you're going to find this word boldness. There is bold action. There is bold witness. There is courage to stand in the face of persecution. Peter and John do that in Acts chapter 3 and 4, Stephen in Acts 6 and 7, Philip in Acts 8, and it just continues in these expanding circles as the gospel heads out and the kingdom expands via God's church. So make no mistake, the mission will require bold verbal witness. And if you've observed the New Testament much, you'll find the early church prayed for that. They asked for it. You see that also, that, you know, and you look kind of to the end of Acts 2, and you're going to see that the Holy Spirit doesn't just give them boldness in the moment to witness, but it enables a new way of living. You know, we've called that more like Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus. Their communities and families were shaped by this change. We're going to look at that some more next week, I think. I'm just saying this because I want you to see that as we embrace this vision and we open ourselves up to more of the love of God in us, we are in effect opening ourselves up more to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And you can see that Jesus gives the mission to his disciples and then the Holy Spirit works in them to see it through. And that story just keeps playing over and over and over through Acts and into the rest of the New Testament. It was that their witness was one of personal inward change, leading to a witness in the way that they lived. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it to help us be more like Jesus. We need it to help us go to see more people know him. I'm trying to be sort of quick here. Can I give you three ways that God's mission in us, we can see God's mission in us and through us via the Holy Spirit? This is them. Firstly, we would receive the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we'd rely on it. And then thirdly, we would reach out with it. So to receive the Holy Spirit, verse 8, Jesus promises it. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, the truth is we alone, useless in the mission. We just can't do it. Like we don't have the skill set. We don't have the patience. We don't have the irresistible grace of God without the Spirit. It's kind of like the movie Space Jam, where the monsters are weak and they are uninspiring and unathletic and bland and boring. But when they have the power of the NBA athletes, what happens? They play like giants, right? God loves to use the weakest to make his name great. So his power is a gift that we receive. It's not something we control or coerce. We can't earn it. We can't manufacture it because we don't have any power in and of ourselves. It is in that moment of repentance and belief, the power of the Spirit is given by God's grace to believers. Jesus said, "I am with you," didn't he? Matthew, end of Matthew chapter 28, you know, in the Great Commission, "I am with you even to the end of the age." It's because he's given us the power of the Spirit. He's given us this person that we can know and embrace God through. In Ephesians 1, we read this: "You are included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." This power isn't power in a worldly sense, though it will overcome the world. I'm just saying to you, it's not like that genie in a lamp kind of on tap power, where you bajam and something happens. It's not how it works. It's also not this weird uncle. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you don't actually start acting weird and doing stupid things. You do things that would be aligned with what you see in God's Word. And what is that in this case? Well, it is to witness, It is to be bold. It is to receive. It is to see more of Christ in your life. I want to give you some really super fast examples of what it could look like. The first one is deep conviction. When the Holy Spirit comes into the life of a believer, Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians, our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So there is a deep conviction. We sing about a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. John Piper puts it like this. He's very good with his words. He's very careful with his words, probably a lot more careful than me. He says this, the power of God comes upon you, wraps you up as though in a garment of strength and carries you with conviction and assurance through the hour of testimony. So the Holy Spirit looks like deep conviction in the life of a believer. It looks like convincing wisdom. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power, your witness to Christ comes with convincing wisdom, irresistible words. In Acts 6, we learn about Stephen, who was chosen as a deacon because he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 10, Luke tells us about Stephen's witness to the Jews from Alexandria. It says they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. It doesn't matter if you're uneducated or you're educated. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your family background. The power of the Holy Spirit will empower you with convincing wisdom in the moment to witness. It is a supernatural witness. Now, does that mean that every single time, every bloke I chat to on the road between here and Tasmania, do you think that they're going to accept Christ? Don't think so. I don't even know if I'll get to talk with a lot of them about Jesus. But that doesn't matter because it's not my job to bring them to Christ, to convert them. That's the word I was looking for. It's just my job to send the message to them, right? And then the Holy Spirit does the rest. The third thing is the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer looks like self-denying courage and boldness. Timothy writes about not a spirit of fear, but of love and self-control and power. He says, do not then be ashamed of testifying to our Lord, but take your share of suffering for the gospel in the power of God. And we've spoken about Stephen today, who is martyred. He has the Holy Spirit come into his life. He preaches this sermon and then he's stoned. And in that moment of being stoned, he says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. So there is power for self-denying courage and boldness. And you can keep going. Like Romans 8 talks all about the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you. So talk about a miracle, the fact that you and I would turn from our evil, wicked ways and accept Christ. That is a Holy Spirit miracle. And we believe, we want to see God do this in our midst. We want to see people that are outside of this place, that are dying in their brokenness and sin, that are lost, feel so unloved and ashamed. We want them to be introduced to the one person who can heal their brokenness. That's what we want. That's what we're asking God to do in us. And we're asking that He would do that miracle in their lives. The Holy Spirit is for sanctification, the means which we are made more like Jesus. It's how we can put to death the old life, and it gives us confidence that we are heirs in Christ. You can read that in Romans 8. It restores, it strengthens, it establishes us in Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 5. Can you see that? The mission of the Holy Spirit is to exalt Christ in you, to see you be more like Jesus, and then to send you into a world where you might exalt Christ by telling others about Him. And that's been true since the fall. It's God's plan for you. It is God's plan for us. And right now, it's just simply our turn to pick up and run with the baton that has been passed on from the early church to now. It's just our time. That's what God is asking of us. And so that is some of what could happen if we were to receive and open ourselves up more to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 also says that we would rely on the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what a great love we have given to us in the Spirit. And we need to learn to rely upon it, to trust Him, to be used by Him. I don't know about you, but I have this ongoing arm wrestle between me and God and the things I want to do and the things God wants me to do. And I like to wrestle back control from the Holy Spirit. I like to think that my way is the better way. Sometimes in really good things too. It's not like they're bad things, but it's just that's not what God would have of me right now. That's why I'm so hard trying not to plan everything right now and not just give you a thousand things that we can go and do, because I want us to be gripped by God's love. I want us to be infilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then our going makes some kind of sense, doesn't it? So we need to learn to rely upon it, because when we think by our own power we can do anything, it just doesn't happen. We just burn ourselves out. We can't. Remember, the plan is bigger than us. It is supernatural, requires a supernatural power, because if it takes that kind of power that we would just become Christians, it takes a whole dimension of power to carry out an expanding witness of Christ. And lastly, we want to rely on the Spirit, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. That's in Ephesians 6. We also want it because the Spirit is transformative, not us. So it's not us that changes by our willpower and white-knuckling it. You know how Jesus says, "You will become my witnesses." I kind of like to think of that like becoming fishers of men, that God will make us. I think that verse in Corinthians is becoming one of my favorites. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So our witness is one of the life-changing power of Jesus. Our ongoing life of change is by the Spirit. That is our testimony, and that is a comfort in that it reminds us that it is the Holy Spirit's work in conversion and simply our role to make Him known. I think also we need to rely on the Spirit, because what is required of us on mission does not come naturally to us. And think about it. I reckon there's a whole bunch of people here that are going, "You're asking me to talk to people." I mean, that for you doesn't come naturally to begin with, right? But even being open and vulnerable to your own need for Jesus' grace here and now, that doesn't come naturally to us. Or the way we serve each other or forgive one another, the way we are welcoming, like, that doesn't come naturally to us. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. That's what that is. They're not natural to us before Jesus. And the living of a life pleasing to the Lord would require the Holy Spirit's indwelling. So not just in the way we relate to one another, but our inclination to want to be devoting ourselves to God through His Word, to be in prayer, to be generous to those in need, to be content, to be together in community. The church in Acts 2 was known for those things right after the Holy Spirit comes. So we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit's power. We have received it. We're learning to rely upon it. And now we kind of get to the point we want to reach out in that power, the life-changing, transformative power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that there is a connection in these verses, which is, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." There is a connection between these verses in the Holy Spirit's power and witness. They're joined, they're together. That is a purpose for the power in you. A purpose is not purely for your benefit. It is for your benefit, but not purely for your benefit. So I'm encouraging you to reach out in witness to the saving grace of God in your life through Jesus. That is how the Holy Spirit will enable us to see more people more like Jesus. Lots of Christians living lives that are ever changing into the likeness of Jesus. Lots of Christians who are witnessing to their neighbors brings Christ lots of glory. I think the statement I made last week was, we want this place to just become a massive disciple making and growing factory, right? That as more people become more like Jesus, more people will know Him. That is inevitable. You can't escape it. That's what's going to happen. And they are discipled, and they too will then want to lead more people to Jesus, and they will know Him, and they will grow deeper in Him, and the cycle continues. You will receive power, and this is what you become. God makes you into this. So just give in. Abandon yourself to it. Resistance is futile. All right, so just open, you may as well just completely open yourself up to the love of God in your life. Start getting into His Word, start getting involved into community, start praying for it, start asking God for it, because this is what He's going to do in you anyway. And it's better not to resist, all right? And if you want to experience more of the closeness and the joy of the Spirit in your lives, that is how you experience it. You reach out in the power of God in witness. Can I just finish with this idea in reaching out? You read that in these verses, you will be my witnesses to where? Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to all the earth, right? And I know many of you are involved in great worldwide missions that serve communities in Jesus' name. And some of you would go out from this place, and I love that. And I love that our church would expand our reach like that. Like, we've had Thailand trips. We've heard today what's been going on in schools via chaplaincy. I know many of you are passionate about the poorest and most vulnerable people in the world, even to just remote areas in Western Australia. And all of that, that is going to be brilliant as God sort of expands our reach. But guess where the apostles first proclaimed the victory of Jesus over sin and death? Jerusalem, right where they were, exactly where they lived. And as they went out, they went with the message. Albany is our Jerusalem, right? Would we begin to see that we live here for eternal purposes? You're in this street for eternal purpose. You've got neighbours that are purposely picked by God for you to live next to. Every gift you have, every interest is for the mission. God can and will and wants to use all of it. And we've got to begin to see the world like this, because then it doesn't matter who you are, how old or young you are, what you do in life, what the world views you as, because God is going to want to use you. Because every single day you're going to come into contact with someone that doesn't yet know Jesus. So we want to create more opportunity for that here. And we're going to, again, we'll talk about it next year, right? That's next year's thing. Think about it, pray about it, ask God to grip you by it. But could you see that the story just doesn't end here today, and it can't, for the sake of your friends, your families, for all that are far off in Christ's name. We want his name to be elevated in all the earth. And if that is going to happen, people must come to Jesus. He's saving us. He's equipping us by his Spirit. It's not so that Sunday would be great. Sunday is made great because people are gathered from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, bearing witness to Jesus rescuing them. That's what I'm trying to say. Let me give you this little acronym to finish with. And please, I was reluctant to do this because what's going to happen, I'm worried what's going to happen is you're going to remember this and you're not going to remember more people more like Jesus, because it is a little cheesy, all right? So what I'm asking is that you would be a pig for Jesus, right? That's what I'm asking. And what I mean by that is P is for pray. If you really want to do this, like you're going, I want to see more people know him. I want to see my life opened up to the love of God through the Holy Spirit. I want to embrace that. Well, you've got to ask for it. You've got to say, God, would you do this in my life? And would you do this in their lives as you walk your street and pray, as you head to school and pray, as you ask that God would prepare you for mission, that he'd give you opportunities? The church asked for this in Acts. They asked for boldness. Matt Chandler talks about it like this. He talks about it in terms of people who feel spiritually stuck. The ones that want to see the Holy Spirit power in their lives, but they feel like that's just not happening. And I've used these questions here before. This is what he says. As a response in over 20 years of ministry, he asks these questions. Great questions for us. Firstly, who are you praying for? Secondly, who does your heart break for when you think about friends and family members and co-workers that are far from God? When is the last time you felt burdened for those around you that are far from God? And these people that are spiritually stuck that he's ministering to, every time over 20 years, they say, I'm not doing those things. And so what happens to us is we can have this power available, but then we just don't use it for what it was given to us for. So of course we're going to feel spiritually stuck and ineffective. So pray. It's one thing to say, great vision, great message, I'm on board, but it is another thing altogether to pray for it. So pray. We find spiritual power when we are in God's story on mission, and when we go to the world around us with the gospel empowered by the Spirit, but we've got to pray for it. Secondly, in the pig is invite. We already have things to invite to here. We've got movies, we've got carols, so we've got a bunch of stuff that we're going to do next year. There will be always an alpha course running. Just invite people. Invite people into your lives, into our community. And this is another line that hopefully my family aren't listening too closely, because I find I don't like this line. When people go, I'm just going to do life with you. I'm just going to go do life. Like, how do you do life? I don't know what that means. But what they're saying is, I want to invite these people into the mess of my life. I'm going to invite them into my world. I'm going to show them what God's grace looks like. So pray, invite, and then you can guess what the G is, go. Wherever you go, Jesus says, I am with you. That's what he says, even to the end of the age. That is the promise. So God's not asking you, maybe he's asking some of you, to go to China. But what he's asking all of us to do is to cross the street, talk to our neighbor, talk to our friend, talk to our family member that doesn't know Jesus, and then show them. I want to see us witnessing for the sake of those far off, but also because of what God will do in us as we respond in obedience to his call to witness. Remember, the love of God compels us and the Spirit empowers us. If that is true, then this is who we are becoming as a people. And if we are willing to embrace God in this way, if we could reorient our lives around this mission for God's glory, what could he do? What could he actually do if we open ourselves up to it? And I reminded you about the what ifs from last week, those sticky notes on the notice board. If we are captivated by the love of God, empowered by the Spirit, and increasingly opening up ourselves to his leading, what could we see? Well, I've got one for you, and like I said, they're there for you to read. And this what if is found in the book of Acts. You hear this all the time. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Isn't that cool? If we would open ourselves up to the love of God, if we would be empowered by the Spirit, if we would know that those are the foundations of our going in mission, we might see genuine spiritual growth. Growth in our depth of affection for Jesus, in our depth of affection for each other, and in the kingdom of God itself. Growth in width and growth in depth. I think that's exciting. I think that I'd love to see that. And I know and I hope that you do too. We're going to sing again in a minute. And as we do, I want you to think about not necessarily that person that I hope has come into your mind as we've opened God's word today. Actually, I want you to think about your life before Jesus and what it took to bring you to him, what you were like. I want you to remind yourself of your need for grace and ask that God would help you to give that grace to others. Shall we pray? Lord God, as we try to open ourselves up to you, as we try not to wrestle control back from you all the time, Lord, as we kind of give in and yield to whatever it is you might do, God, we pray that you would help us to see that your Spirit enables us not just to live as you would need us and have us to live for our good and for your glory, but it actually empowers us in the moment that we would open our mouth to speak about you. Lord, I pray that we would be courageous. I pray that we would not be fearful, God, but I pray more than anything else that you would do something in us that would change us and that we would see it happen before our very eyes, Lord, that people that are far off from you might come running to your arms like we see in the story of the prodigal son. And we thank you, God, that this is not dependent upon us, our goodness, our programs, our plans, but it is all of you. Help us to lean on you. Help us to rely on your Spirit. Help us to reach out in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.